Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum's podcast. We're presented today by our friends at Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. We are so grateful to have them as partners here along on this ride with Sports Spectrum. And the work that they do is second to none, releasing kids from poverty in Jesus' name. Check them out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum. And you can see a list of children there and sponsor a child yourself. Bring a child into your family that you can release from poverty. Your tax-deductible contribution each month connects a child living in poverty with a loving, church-driven child sponsorship program, all done in Jesus' name. Check it out at compassion.com/sportsspectrum and pray about the opportunity for you to sponsor a child in Jesus' name.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. We are the intersection of sports and faith, and we get to do something really cool each and every time we hit record here on the show, and that is to have conversations about Jesus and keep Jesus in the sports conversation. They can exist. I think sports and faith are great ways to be able to intersect what you believe with what you're passionate about. And that's what we're about at Sports Spectrum, being able to share these stories with you. You can find us on our website, sportsspectrum.com. That's a great place to go each and every day. Articles and devotionals and podcasts. And make sure when you're at the website that you check out our Sports Spectrum magazine. As we get near the holidays here, I want to tell you, the Sports Spectrum magazine makes a great gift. It's perfect for the kids, and it's a perfect resource to share the gospel through the lens of sports with in-depth stories and just articles and devotionals and opportunities that you can't really see anywhere else when you think about Sports Spectrum's magazine. So please do subscribe. A one-year or a two-year subscription. We keep it super cheap and affordable, and it makes a great gift, especially for the holidays, for that person who loves Jesus and loves sports. Subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine right now. Click that magazine icon at the top of our website at sportsspectrum.com. Now today on the show, we welcome back J.C. Hoyt. J.C. is the Oklahoma State women's basketball coach. It's a new role for her. She just got hired back in March of this year, March 2022, as their head coach. Prior to that, she was with the University of Missouri, Kansas City, UMKC, led that team to the WNIT with 23 wins in the last year, and they had a conference championship under their belt until COVID hit and wiped that out as well. JC was on this podcast in 2018, 4 years ago. At that time, the youngest Division I head coach in women's basketball. Now I think she talks about being the youngest head coach in a Power Five conference, but she's doing great things. And just, I love her heart, not only for God, but her heart to serve and just create a culture of love and serve and care around the team that she has inherited. We talk a lot about what it means to connect with her players, building a culture when you're coming in to a new program. And really, my favorite part, I think, was at the end when she talks about what she does prior to every game that is played as a coach when her players are warming up and she's still in the locker room. She enters into a place that I think more coaches need to go to as they prepare for a game. This is really good stuff here from J.C. Hoyt, and it's wonderful to have her back here on Sports Spectrum. Take a listen. J.C. Hoyt, welcome back to Sports Spectrum. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be back with you.
Absolutely. 3 years, I was looking at it, actually 4 years, 2018, youngest Division I head coach in women's basketball at that time when you were at Missouri, Kansas City. Here you are now with Oklahoma State. When you think back the last 4 years, is it kind of crazy to think where God has brought you today?
It is the wildest thing. It's hard to even put into words because you're right. I was the youngest at that time. And I think maybe now I'm the youngest Power Five, someone said. And yeah. So it's just, it's not me though, you know, it's just all the things that God has done for me, and the gifts and the people and just all the blessings. So it's truly humbling.
Why was Oklahoma State the right yes at the time that it came along for you?
Well, it was really perfect for me. I'm just such a big believer in surrounding yourself with good people, and the leadership that we have here, man, I couldn't be here at a better time. Our from top to bottom, our president is a very strong, smart, fierce woman who's just wrapping up her first year. Her name is Casey Schrum, and she's been a great mentor for me. And then our athletic director, Chad Weiberg, just a really special guy, a unique person in this line of business. I think he really puts people first in a profession where a lot of people don't do that in his position. And so, being under their leadership really gave me a lot of just hope and excitement for what this place can be. And I'm a small town girl, so I mean, I Stillwater, being in a college town, it's perfect for me. It's comfortable. I feel like these are my people.
What was the toughest adjustment early on? Games are underway as we're releasing this interview, but what was the toughest adjustment kind of coming into a new program? I'm guessing there's a lot, right? Because you're the head coach and recruiting and coaching and staff and everything. But what was the toughest adjustment for you?
Yeah, I think the toughest adjustment is just all the different things that are on your plate at this level. And I really just was not, I didn't know what I didn't know. And it's a blessing, right, to have so many people who care and are so invested in terms of media and marketing and all those things that, just at my previous school, we just didn't really have all of that. And so it's been something that I've had to kind of figure out and navigate through of just all the things that pull at you at this level. And I think that Oklahoma State is even an exception to that because they do care so much here, and the community just really rallies around the university. And so you are the show. There's really nothing else. I mean, in Kansas City, you had Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and the Royals, and here, Oklahoma State is the hottest ticket in town, so everybody wants a piece of you. So it's been a blessing, but also a huge adjustment for me.
What do you think the biggest difference is between the JC that was on the show 4 years ago and the one we're talking to today? Now it's 4 years, but there's probably a lot of growth and maturation and learning going on in your life. What do you think the biggest difference is there?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I would just say my maturity that can only come with experience. You can't simulate it. You just got to go through it. I'm a much better coach now, just having gone through all those different experiences. So I would just probably say just my experience and maturity for sure.
How about your faith? Growing in your faith and maturing in that?
Well, my faith is as strong rooted as it's ever been. And again, that I just think that that comes with time, and just being able to sit where I sit now and reflect on all of those times since we last talked, where maybe things were hard or challenging. Did COVID obviously happen since we last talked? I mean, everyone probably could say this, but just the different hardships that I've gone through, and now getting to see what God was doing in those moments. There's no way I could ever deny, his hand in where I'm at now, and just all the ways that he was orchestrating things in every way, shape, and form. It's just amazing to me. And I'm just, like I said at the beginning, it's just crazy to think back on everything he's done.
Yeah, what was that COVID timing? We all went through it, but what was that time personally like for you?
I'm not gonna lie, personally, it was a really dark time. We had just won the first ever conference championship at UMKC, and of course the whole hope and goal and dream is to play in an NCAA tournament, and that got pulled out, right underneath our nose. And so I think just being, kind of finally achieving what we all set out to do there, and then not having that, but then not having anything, right? Just having to put my team on a plane and not seeing some of them. I haven't seen some of them since. And then just that next year, just navigating through trying to balance everything that from a mental health standpoint, you know, my own mental health. I mean, just it was hard times. I think anyone who was a leader in that time, man, just double the blessings for us moving forward, because it was a really heavy time to lead. So it was tough, but again, now I can look back and see it all the ways that he was really sharpening me and refining me. I do feel really like I can take on anything that could ever come my way now after going through that. And I don't say that to be arrogant. I just say that because that's my reality, that I don't think I could face anything tougher than what I did in that year.
But you probably find some positives in the midst of it, even though it's a dark time, with regards to being home with your husband and having probably more time with him than you maybe have ever had. I don't know. I'm just guessing there, but that's probably the case.
No, you're absolutely right. And not just my husband, but just, you know, my family. We actually went and lived for about a month with my parents, just because we wanted to get out of the city. Kansas City was tough,
Sure.
when COVID hit. And so just that time with my family that I'll never get again. And especially now, you know. So there were definitely some really great things that came out of it.
J.C. Hoyt is our guest here on Sports Spectrum, the Oklahoma State women's basketball coach. It's funny, I was following you. We've been following each other on social media for a while, but I saw a recent post of a player of yours sharing, I think it was her testimony at an FCA event, an FCA gathering. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's got to be so neat. Obviously, your job is to be a coach, but when you see a player, I think, grow in their own faith and really begin a spiritual journey, that's got to be make you so proud. What's it like as a coach to see that, to see a player sharing her Christ story and just kind of growing in her faith?
Well, I think even in the post I just put, I've never been more proud of her. And that particular player was actually on that championship team that I had mentioned earlier. So her first year with us, she helped us cut down the nets and win a championship. I've seen her go off and score 45 points in a game. I mean, I have seen her through a lot of things that the world would tell you know, is the thing that you should, excuse me, be most proud about.
Yeah.
And as we both know, you know, it's so much bigger than that. And to see her use her platform to share her testimony that night, oh my gosh, she changed lives that night. And that's really what this is about. So that was a pretty neat moment for me.
Well, it's also as a coach about connecting, not just with her, obviously, even though you share a common faith, I'm sure there are players that may not be in the same faith, maybe in the same position or the same, you know, journey, I guess, on this path that you're on. So, what are some of the things that you've learned as a coach to be able to connect with your players, and I guess your staff as well, right? Because that's important too. What are some things that you do intentionally to help connect with them?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to be exactly who you are. Players and people are going to see through if you're not being genuine. And I'm just kind of a say what you mean and mean what you say person. And sometimes I'm not for everyone for that reason, you know, but I just think as long as we're operating in truth, then we can always find ways to understand each other and navigate through, you know, whatever comes your way in that particular relationship. So I think just being really genuine and authentic to who you are, not for me, you know, not hiding my faith, but also not forcing it on anyone at the same time. And then I just think you have to be really intentional. I think we have so many things that pull at us, and we all could use our time in certain ways. And I think you have to be really intentional about making time for people and truly being present with them. So for me, no matter what I've got going on here, I make sure that I'm meeting one-on-one with each of my players every other week, which is a lot. You know, when you add it, you know, you give 30 minutes to each player, I think we got 13 on our roster. I mean, that's a big chunk of your day. But I just think that relationships win every time. And I know for me and my job, I could be doing other things. I could be watching film or recruiting, but the people in front of me are always going to be the most important. And I think that those relationships are the most the best weapon that you could have going into competition.
Did you do anything intentional over the summer, or before the season started? Maybe a gathering away together? Did you do anything like that?
Yeah, you know, we did more just kind of on a daily basis. Man, if you want to get on our Twitter, our kids are hilarious. I love our team. So we had like a team kickball day one day, and they text me, "Coach, do you mind if we dress up?" And I was like, "No, okay, you know, whatever." And they all walk out like grandmas, like dressed head to toe. So we played granny kickball, and that was great. And then that kind of, you know, got this thing going. And then the next weekend we played softball, and they all dressed up like Adam Sandler. And so it's, you know, just like I said, I think sometimes coaches, and I'm guilty of this, but we put this pressure on ourselves, like it has to be this really big thing, and you know, we got to do this retreat or whatever. And there's value in that. But I think if you can just find little ways to commit to it each day, then that takes the pressure off, and then you can build it pretty quickly that way.
And yet you still want to be successful. You still want to win games. So the competitive side of J.C. Hoyt, I have to imagine it still comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am so competitive, and that stuff, sometimes I'm not going to lie. You know, we do this thing called Fun Fridays, and it's just a little fun, kind of silly way to start off our practice. And they'll, you know, I don't even know what I've got someone in charge of it. And it's actually my sister. She's our director of operations, and she knows it's her assignment every Friday, no matter what kind of mood I'm in or what's going on, we have to commit to doing this because the players need it. You know, they just need to be silly and have joy and kind of have a fun little outlet. And so I know my strengths and weaknesses, and I think a strength of mine is my competitive spirit, but sometimes, whew, it can get the best of me. And so I try and put people around me and things around me to help me kind of balance that out.
All right, give us an example of a fun Friday, something that's already been done.
Yeah, a fun Friday could be, I mean, we could play dodgeball. We could do like something as silly as rock, paper, scissors. We had a they did a really fun thing with rock, paper, scissors a couple weeks ago. And so whoever beats you in rock, paper, scissors, then you have to join on their team and cheer them on. And so by the end, you've got, you know, one on one, but the whole team is cheering for the person that beat them. And it's fun, it's silly, I mean, we've got college age kids, we got some 24, 25 year olds, but they will convert back to their childhood days in a second when you put them, you know, in those positions. And like I said, I think they need that.
Well, I think it helps too that you played, and I could be off on this, but you play basketball at Wichita State. So I think it has to help that you can, you're fairly recently removed, maybe a decade removed from having played. So you can probably relate to these young. I mean, I think about my daughter, who she doesn't play any sports, but she's a freshman in college right now. And at 18, there's so much, to learn and to grow. And yet there's such a freedom of being independent and not being at home. I just think it's probably helpful that you've been through this yourself.
It is very helpful. And I was the type that, you know, if I wasn't playing well, my whole world was not going well. I mean, I put my whole identity in me and my performance as a player. And so I really am adamant about helping our players understand their identity outside of basketball. And I want them to know just their worth and their value. Far beyond the game. And so I think just those little things, you know, that can kind of pull us away from the game is very important. And I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I made. And I think that I'm grateful for my ability to kind of recognize that about myself, that, you know, I was really kind of robbed of some of the good experiences or joy that I could have felt in my career. But it's helpful. I can relate to them. I know what they're going through and how they could feel. And I think they have it harder than I did, because now we have all these things pulling at them in terms of social media. And you know, I didn't really have that. I mean, Facebook was just coming on the scene, you know? So, they definitely have, a lot more pulling at them that I think makes it hard for them to just have human connection, like true human connection, not just on a screen, but you know, just face to face and true relationship building.
I think one of the hardest things too as a coach, because if you're on the court, you're talking about 8, 9, maybe 10 deep, sometimes 11 or 12, if you're really, emptying out the bench or whatever. But you have 13 players, and not everybody's going to play the same role or play the same amount of time or get the same amount of opportunities to score. How do you stay connected? There's that word again, but making those players that aren't getting as much time still feel like they're valued and that there's a reason and a purpose for them to be on this team. How do you do that? That feels really difficult for me, thinking about being a coach with players who are all equal, but not are all are contributing maybe on the court like maybe they want.
Right. Absolutely. That's one of the hardest parts of the job, right? Is just keeping everyone in a good headspace and happy. So I think the first thing is we obsess over process, obsess over it. We talk about it every day. And I think that when you start viewing things as a process and not just always getting those end results that we all want, that helps. And then we really work on just defining roles, and some of those roles are not, you know, being the leading scorer or taking all the shots, but you know, just the little things, rebounding, being a great teammate. We also obsess over being a great teammate. We obsess over what it looks like to be a good leader and having maturity in your leadership and just all the different ways that people can contribute to that. And then we praise the heck out of them. So, you know, someone we could have a practice and they, you know, make 10 threes in a row in a scrimmage, and I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm going to acknowledge the great teammate who was making her the pass or celebrating it. I think you just have to really be intentional about that, because everyone does play a part, and it's not just something that's made up. It's real, you know. Without each other, we don't stand a chance. And so I think, again, just being really intentional about just helping them understand the value that they bring.
You talk about connecting. It's also important for us to connect with God, right? So what is that? What are some intentional ways that you've learned, maybe even in the last 4 years, that you've learned to stay connected to Jesus during, a long grind of a season and just as a coach with so many demands coming at you?
Well, I'm going to be very transparent. I struggle sometimes. I mean, since I've gotten the job, it has, I'm trying to navigate through, like I told you at the beginning, just the things that are pulling at me, and my time is different now, and getting a feel for the different rhythms and kind of what my daily life is like at this level. And so I have to work even harder than what I did before to make that time. Because that's the most precious resource that I've realized is like time. But I think that, you know, I work really hard. We don't practice on Sundays if we can help it. Sundays are for church and rest. And I really, really stick to that. And I'm never gonna miss a Sunday church because that's what fills my tank and my bucket. And then you know, just trying to make time in the mornings and have quiet time. Something that really has helped me that my previous coach and mentor taught me is she just taught me the importance of praying for my players. And man, that will change you as a coach when you start, you know, looking at them through the lens of just seeing Jesus in them and helping them feel his love. I coach totally different when I'm doing that. So before every game, while the team is out there warming up, I'm back in the locker room. And I initially, when I first started coaching, I called her and I was like, "Coach, What do you do? What were you doing back there when we were warming up? Because I'm going crazy. Like my mind is like, just all over the place and don't know what to do. And she taught me how to pray for him. And she said, I'd just go stand over your locker or the chairs you guys were sitting in and pray. And so I started doing that and it really changed the way that I coach them and the outcome of our games. I truly believe that. I just saw them differently throughout the midst of intense competition. And so I would just encourage coaches who are struggling, like maybe sometimes you don't have all the time in the world to be involved in life groups or have a hour-long devotional every morning. That's great. I hope that they can, and I try to, but sometimes you just can't, and you got to find ways to really infuse Jesus, I think, in just your everyday interactions with people.
And that has to change your mindset too. I think prayer brings peace and calms, and you can't have anxiety and pray at the same time. At least in my experience, you haven't. And that has to help you as a coach, not just to see your players differently, but to have more of a calm and a peace about the game before you go into it.
That is so true. That is so true. It steadies my mind. The peace that surpasses all understanding, right? And you could be down by 15 going into the fourth quarter, and somehow you've got that peace, and you just stay steady and do what you do. God worked on my heart in some really big ways, just in game settings and situations, exactly what I just described last year. He really matured me in that. And I'm definitely not perfect in it. I still, my heart rate, and I'm on that roller coaster sometimes, but he really did help me just steady out personally and not get too high or too low and just clinging to his truth and the training that I've put in. And yes, it's been really transformative for me.
That's really good, J.C. Hoyt. As we wind down, my last question, with Thanksgiving coming up, I've been asking this question a lot to everybody that we've been talking to. Gratitude, right? Such a great trait, I think, for all of us to have, but especially as followers of Christ and being grateful for the sacrifice of Christ and being grateful to who God is for us. But what are you most grateful for? What are you most thankful for in the season of life that you're in right now?
You're asking me an impossible question.
All of it, right? All of it.
I mean, it sounds corny, but I just breathe in gratitude right now. Like everything around me, the school that I get to work at, the department I get to represent, the team that I have and my staff, my husband, my family, our health. I mean, there's just so much, and I don't take it lightly. God has just blessed me in the biggest ways, and it just makes me want to work so much harder to glorify him and give it back to him because he's just blessed me in the absolute biggest ways. I think always health, though, to like you don't realize until maybe you've had a struggle with your health or someone in your family or someone you know has battled. And I'm in a really great position right now where I don't have to stress over that, thankfully, because I've had times where I have. So all of it is my answer.
All of the things, right, JC?
All of
All of the
the
things. Well, this has been great to catch up again. So happy for you and your new position, and wish you nothing but the best going forward. And hopefully we don't wait 4 years again next time, we want to have you
Right.
back on. Maybe next year we'll bring you back on and see what God has taught you. But thanks for joining us, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
And many thanks to JC Hoyt for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. She was great. And just super excited to see what God is going to do in her life and with her team over there at Oklahoma State in Stillwater. You can find us at our website, sportspectrum.com. That's the best place to go every single day. And I highly recommend you check out our daily devotionals, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern. Those are posted to our website. And it's a daily devotional. It literally takes, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes tops to read, maybe even less. And there's a scripture every day, a little bit of a writing, and just a way to connect with God at whatever level that you might have. I was thinking about JC and what she said and how hard it is to carve out time, you know, in terms of like an hour every day in a Bible study or a life group, but everybody can carve out 5-10 minutes. And I think our Sports Spectrum's daily devotionals can help with that. So definitely check those out. They're at the website, sportspectrum.com, every single morning, Monday through Friday. And while you're there at the website, I mentioned it before, but I'll say it again, with the holidays coming up, check out our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can click that magazine icon and you can subscribe right now for a 1 year or a 2 year magazine subscription. It's a perfect gift. Great for that fan that loves Jesus and loves sports, or that person in your life that might love the Lord. Great for the kiddos if you're looking for some good, clean content with pictures and just wonderful designs. Our guy Aaron does a great job with the design, and John Ackerman, who you've heard on this podcast, is our managing editor. They do amazing work, and we're really excited about this upcoming magazine that's coming out in a couple weeks, this new edition of the magazine. It's our winter edition, so now is a great time to subscribe over at sportsspectrum.com. Click that magazine icon, and you are good to go. Thanks for tuning in. We do love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of your day. So much to be thankful for here at Sports Spectrum. We hope you'll continue to join us next time for some more sports and faith here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day.